Amen. You may be seated in the name of the Lord. The oldest son shoe truth. If I can draw your attention to verse number 25 that says, meanwhile, the older son was in the field, and when he came home, he heard music and dancing, called out one of the servants and asked him what's going on. And he said, yeah, your brother's come home, he replied, and your father's killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound. And the older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing, and the older brother became angry and refused to go in. Meanwhile, the older son is in the field, and he comes near the house. He hears music and dancing, and the oldest son becomes angry and refused to come in. Meanwhile, the oldest son is in the field, comes near the house, hears music and dancing, and this oldest son, verse 28 says, became angry and refused to go in. This is the prodigal son story, and it's incredible and it's wonderful, but for just a minute, I want to focus on the fact that right in the middle of this story of forgiveness and redemption, most of the time when we read this story or talk about this story or teach this story, we're so focused on the forgiveness of the father, we're so focused on the restoration of this youngest son, that we have a tendency to ignore the meanwhile. But I know that I'm not the only person in the room, and I know I'm not the only one watching that can admit that in life there's a meanwhile. Praise God for service, but there's a meanwhile. Praise God for church, but there's a meanwhile. Praise God for the miracle that happened in the service, but there's a meanwhile. Praise God for your prayer life, but there's a meanwhile. There seems to be something in the meantime. In the meanwhile, God forgives, but there's a meanwhile. The Father has forgiven, but there's a meanwhile. But in the meanwhile, outside of what happens in churchdom and kingdom, there is this meanwhile called life. And in the meanwhile, stuff happens that we don't like to talk about in church. In this thing called life, things take place that we like to kind of gloss over a little bit, but the truth of the matter is that there are things that happen in the meanwhile that can make you angry. In the meanwhile, this older brother is angry. A friend of mine said to me the other day, I've been watching you preach, Pastor Andy, and you seem angry. You seem angry. Can anybody admit things make you angry? Can we be honest for just a minute, leadership? Can we be honest around the world and say, yes, I'm saved, but stuff makes me mad. Yes, I got the Holy Ghost, but stuff makes me angry. The Bible says to be angry and sin not. Sure, I love God, but there's some things I've seen that made me angry. I still haven't watched the whole Floyd video. I can't watch. I've watched a second of it. I can't watch it because it makes me angry. There's stuff that makes me. I watch a little bit of the, and I got to turn it off because I'm trying as best I can to be saved and not knock nobody out. I need a witness. I need a witness in the building. I have to admit that. Praise God for church and kingdom and Bible and worship and prayer. But there's a meanwhile. And in the meanwhile, I get angry sometimes. Can I get a witness in the book? Can I get a witness around the world? I get angry. I had an experience the other day where I was flying somewhere. And as I got to the place to check my bag, I was coming out of Philly. I don't know if you've ever been to Philly. I don't know if you're familiar with Philly. I don't know if you know about Philly. And I'm not trying to knock nobody that's watching from Philly or is from Philadelphia. I was born in Philadelphia. But if you're familiar with Philly, you know Philly has some ghetto-ness going on. In Philly, there's some, it's not quite New York, but it's close, my God, walk. There's a something in Philly, and I'm in Philly trying to get out of Philadelphia, And I'm standing at the counter, and to the right of me, there was a young woman there, and she was angry. I overheard an argument between this sister from Philly and the ticket agent. It seems she had arrived for her journey preparing to keep her baggage with her. Upon arrival, she was informed that her bag was too big to fit with her. She needed to check it. The problem was she had arrived too late to check her bag. And so now, because she has missed the cutoff time to check her bag, she's going to have to wait for a later flight. And she became angry with the ticket agent over their policy because she came for her journey prepared to carry a bag on with her that's too big to fit and it's too late to check it. And she became angry. I don't know if you've ever seen anybody from Philly get angry, but she got angry. Words were spoken that I can't say in church. She got angry. As I looked at her and saw her anger, I shook my head with my little halfway judgmental self over the nerve of her being angry. And the Lord spoke to me and said, "That's you." I said, now I'm having a conversation with God. I don't know if this ever happened to you, where you're looking down on somebody a little bit. You don't want to, but you're judging them a little bit. And then the Holy Ghost slips in and totally arrests you and stops you from feeling too good about yourself. He tapped me on the shoulder. He said, "That's you. Your friend said you're angry. And you're angry. That's a part of why you're angry." Immediately, I said, "Well, Lord, how is that me? How is that us? How is that us?" The Lord spoke to me and said, "Well, you're on your way somewhere." I said, "Oh God, I'm so glad I'm on my way somewhere. I'm so glad I'm on my way to a wealthy place. I'm so glad that where I am now is not where I'm going to end up. I'm so glad that I'm still on a journey. Who am I talking to? I'm so glad that this is not the end." I felt good because I said, "Well, Lord, at least this is not my last stop. At least this is a comma in my story. At least I'm on my way to a wealthy place. At least my ladder shall be greater than my former. At least this is not the end." He said, "Yeah." He said, "Yeah, I'm taking you somewhere. You're on your way. You're on a journey." I said, "Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I'm so glad that I'm on a journey." He said, "Yeah, yeah, you are. You are on your way, but you're in a rush. So you're trying to carry your bag on with you, and your bag is too big." I realized, much to my chagrin, that the Lord was saying to me that I have baggage. I'm just going to let that marinate just for a second till the honest people can hear that. The Lord was informing me that I have baggage. You have baggage. Nudge somebody, tell them you have baggage. Oh, help us, don't. Nudge somebody else, tell them you have baggage. You have baggage. I know you halfway feel a little upset about it, but you have baggage that the Holy Ghost told me. Maybe I've been denying it, but the Holy Ghost said to me, "No, you got baggage. You have baggage. The problem is you have baggage." And I immediately felt bad and said, "Well, Lord, I'm so sorry that I have baggage. I'm not going to argue with God as to whether or not I have baggage." And so I said, "Well, Lord," I got upset and I said, "Lord, I'm sorry that I have baggage." And the Lord said, "The problem isn't that you have baggage. The problem is that you don't trust me enough to check your bag. And so now the bag you have won't fit with you on your journey, and you don't trust me enough to check it, and now you have been delayed and you're on a later flight." Who am I talking to this morning? You're on a later flight. You're gonna get there later than you thought. You're not going to get there in the time you thought you were going to get there. You're going to have to call ahead to the folk you told you were going to get there. You told folk you were going to be here at this place. You told folk you'd be married by this time. You told folk you'd have this job by this time. And now you're going to have to tell those people that you are going to get there later than you said. Part of the reason is because you're trying to carry your bag on with you. You're trying to carry it so you can keep an eye on it. Nothing wrong with having baggage. The problem with the baggage is you want to keep it in your face. You want to see it and kick it and dig around in it and take stuff out of it. I just like, okay, Lord, that's enough. Thank you very much. You have beat me enough. I get it. He said, no, no, no. The problem is that your bags are too heavy. Your body is sore because you're determined to carry something that you can see and you refuse to check it with me and let it go. And I think that's why I'm stuck on this story, and I'm going to exegete the passage because my daddy's watching. I'm going to exegete the passage, but I think, beloved, that's why I'm stuck on this story, because I'm sorry, but our biggest bags come from family. Our biggest bags come from personal interaction. Our biggest bags come from people we hired. Our biggest bags come from people that hired us. Our biggest baggage comes from the interaction that happens with people. If you're in here like me and hear the Holy Ghost, if you're watching and you hear the Holy Ghost saying, yeah, you have baggage, more than likely your baggage is from your mama. Your baggage is from your daddy that left. Your baggage is from your cousin. Your baggage is from that dude that hurt you. Your baggage is from your baby daddy. Your baggage is from your baby mama. Your baggage is from your divorced wife that you hate. Your baggage is from the people that you can't stand. Your baggage is from racism. Your baggage is from sexism. You got a bag that you're trying to keep in front of you that somebody gave you. Word says a father had two sons. It doesn't even mention whether he has daughters or not. More than likely he has daughters, but it doesn't mention that he has daughters. But he's talking about family. He's talking about personal connection, and it helps me because what greater mix is there than kingdom and family? It helps. This passage helps me. Maybe this is why I'm stuck on it, because this passage helps me. I know I've heard folks say that this is a picture of God, that the father forgiving and the prodigal son is a picture of God, and this is a picture of God. I'm not saying this is not a picture. I hear you. But you know what I really think this is a picture of? This is us. This is a picture of us. What's that show that they have? The Story of Us or some? This right here is a story of us. This is not just a story of God. This is us. This is how we are. This is how we are. This is how life is. Life with folk you love. And life with folk that you're close to. Can I get an honest person with me this morning to say, oh yeah, Pastor Andy, family can be a trip. Anybody got family? Anybody got family? Anybody got raggedy family? Who am I talking to? I said raggedy family. Anybody got ghetto family? Get out of here. Anybody got country raggedy? Anybody got family that when they show up, you like, oh my Lord, hey. Anybody got family that you can't predict? Anybody got family that you don't know what they'll do? Anybody got a family? I don't know who I'm up to. Anybody got an auntie? Anybody got a mama? That anybody got a I know I don't want to talk about your mama. Anybody got somebody that when they show up, you get nervous? My wife and I and the kids, we went on a family trip because it looks like everybody's moving away. Like Caleb about to move away. Kerwin about to move away. AJ moving away. Everybody's moving away. And so they want to have one great big last shindig before they all move away and leave this nest nice and spacious. Hallelujah. We went to Chicago. I don't know if you've ever been to Chicago. Went to Chicago. My wife booked an Airbnb in Chicago. I don't know if you've ever been in an Airbnb where they tricked you. I guess I don't have a witness. Somebody around the world say, oh, Pastor Andy, yeah. Because the inside was amazing. Everything was brand new. White, flat screens, new beds. Kitchen was amazing. It looked like a brownstone. It was. But it was in Hood. Hood. When we pulled up, there was a cop. When we pulled up, somebody was walking by with a pit bull. When we pulled up, somebody said, Jacinta, throw my bag down. I said, my Lord. Anybody raised in the hood? Where's Walt, raise your hand. Raised in the hood? I was raised in the hood. My daddy's first church was across the street from the projects. All my best friends were the sons of the single mamas that lived in them projects. And I went to private school in the day and hanging in the hood at night. Oh, yeah. I'm reading Latin and Ovid's Metamorphoses and hanging with the dudes like, yo, what's up? And I was the dude that they were like, Andy, you need to go home. This is about to, you'll get your behind kicked up here. But I was raised in the hood. And when you are raised in the hood, it don't matter where you go. The hood don't leave. You can live all in the suburbs you want, but get in the hood, and that hood just popped back out. Next thing you know, my shoulders was back. Y'all don't know. Next thing you know, my sons are walking with me. They're like, Dad, you're not walking like you're normally. Because all of a sudden, I start just walking like, oh, yeah, yo, what up, dude? And they're making eye contact with people. I got my head looking straight ahead. One of them stopped me at one point. Dad, he's trying to get your attention. I was like, nah, bruh. Some dude said, can I talk to you for a minute? I was like, no. Afterwards, they were like, Dad, I mean, you were kind of mean. You were kind of, that was kind of rude. When I realized we were in the hood, I took them three boys aside. I said, now listen, let me tell y'all something, okay? AJ Robert, you are assigned to Kayla. You need to have eyes on her at all times. Me and Kerwin can handle a Sean, because Sean from the hood. And Sean might, matter of fact, Sean, you keep an eye on Kayla. Y'all don't know what I'm talking about. I said, do not let her out your sight. I called them and I said, hey, I'm looking for Kayla. Where's Kayla? AJ and Robert. Where's Kayla? And I don't know. I think she's somewhere with Kerwin. I said, somewhere with Kerwin? Dude, if you don't get your behind down there. In the hood, you walk behind your girl. You don't put her behind you. You put her in front of you so you can keep an eye and make sure. And you get to see everybody that looks at her. You're like, it's me, dude. He went. You're in the hood. I'm like, we got to get out of here. Somebody got to prepare my suite at the Hilton. My son said, Dad, why don't we just stay right here? It's like a vacation. It'll be a hood experience. I said, dude, I done had all the hood experience that I ever could get. I'm good out the hood. I went to the Walmart in the hood. I don't know if you've ever been to a Walmart in the hood. When I went in, the fruit section was really just some apples and some peach cobbler from Patti LaBelle. That was the fruit. You ain't been until you've been to the hood. I don't know if you've got folk that when they come, they bring hood with them. It's a picture of us. This passage says that in the meanwhile, I get to the text. In the meanwhile, there's an older brother. Anybody the oldest? If you're the oldest, raise your hand. Raise your hand if you're the oldest. Not you babies. Wow. The oldest. See, when you're the oldest, maybe I can only see this because I'm the oldest. Those of us who are the oldest can see this. Because when you're the oldest, you start to see how the younger children are raised differently than the oldest. Oh, I wish I had a witness. In the oldest, you might have been told to shut up. The younger ones hears, be quiet. You show up at the house and somebody says, what? And you back up waiting for somebody to get knocked out. I went home and my baby brother, Michael, the seventh, my mom called him and he said, what? From somewhere. The woman that raised me, when she called you, you came. You didn't call from a room. She called him. He said, what? I backed up like, woohoo, about to see somebody get knocked out today. I heard my mother say, I need you to come here. He said, in a minute. Anybody the oldest? I looked at her. I said, what did he just say? I couldn't help it. I went up there. I said, get your behind me. I was ready to beat him. When you're the oldest, you see that the youngest can be treated differently than the oldest. When you're the oldest, you broke. Younger ones, they got money. The oldest, they bought one kind of ice cream, chocolate, vanilla, strawberry. That's all. Neapolitan, that's what they bought. The youngest got Rocky Road. The youngest got Oreo. The oldest, they rolled it all three flavors together, put it on a cone. Now you're trying to eat vanilla and chocolate around nasty strawberry. The oldest brother in this story gives us an opportunity to see something that I don't think we focus on. I think we spend a lot of time on this story and don't talk about the oldest brother. We don't talk about the ones that are there. We don't talk about the ones that are faithful and consistent. We get excited about the backslider, but we don't really focus too much on the ones who are there every week. And it's possible to be the faithful oldest ones and have a small little attitude with the babies. Trying to talk to some faithful saints in the house. Trying to talk to some faithful saints that are watching. It's possible for to be the oldest son and you got on shoes, but there's a truth for you to share that everybody don't necessarily want to hear. And I got some oldest brother, shoe truth for everybody that's watching and everybody in the room that has been faithful and consistent and did right and live right and heard right and gives and tithes and is faithful and is there and worships and praises and has done right, who can say like this oldest son, I didn't disobey. I didn't go squander everything with prostitutes. It's possible for you to be that and not be happy. For all of us who think that the problem with the younger son is that he made mistakes and came back hungry, we need to reevaluate it, because there's an older brother in this story who seems about as unhappy as the younger son. There's an older son in this story who has a truth to share with us. And I know that I've been focusing a lot on the youngest son, but in the few minutes I have remaining, I want to talk about the oldest son, shoe truth. Am I talking to anybody besides just myself this morning? Anybody hearing a word from the Lord? Talk to me. The oldest son, shoe truth. Let me give them to you. There's just a couple of them. Number one, the oldest son, true truth, and I'll throw it on the screens for you, is that shoes can make you miss redemption. Shoes can make you miss redemption. You can be so into your faithfulness and so into your consistency and so into your holiness and so into your righteousness and so into feeling yourself that you miss the power of redemption. You can almost sleep on the fact that God can do a miracle and save somebody. You can almost miss the fact that God can take little and make it much. If you're not careful, you can get to a place where you think you got it because you earned it. And you miss the fact that God got a way of doing things. And God has a way of making things happen. And God can take the crooked straight and the rough places plain. You're so determined to make everything straight and right and a certain way. You're so against abortion that you miss the fact that God can forgive somebody who had an abortion. You're so mad about the law that you miss the fact that it's absolutely possible to totally blow it and God restore you. Who am I talking to? You're so mad about the way the vote went that you miss the fact that God don't care who's president. But you're the oldest brother, so you're angry. You stormed the Capitol because you're angry. And you're angry because you've missed the fact that redemption is possible. I don't know if you grew up in a church like that, but I did. I grew up in a church where they judged you for how you was dressed. And they wanted you to look a certain way and dress a certain way because they weren't ready for the younger son to come back without the right clothes. When the younger women came back, they were so mad about their nakedness that they lost the power of how God can cover nakedness and restore power back to you. They totally missed that. And as a result of that, they're dying. Who am I talking to? As a result of that, don't nobody want to go there no more. Don't nobody want to go to that church. Don't nobody want to be around them. Because they're more focused on the law than the light. They're more focused on holiness than health. We think that our relationship with God gives us a right to be the cops when we're supposed to be the doctor. Jesus said, the sick need a physician. But because we did right, I know I'm not just talking to myself, because we did right. I know, because this is me. I was in that spot where I could look down on somebody who's lost everything because of what they did, and I miss how powerful redemption can be. Shoes can make you miss the joy. The oldest son, shoe truth. Shoes can make you miss the joy. There's a party going on. He comes in and says, what is going on? Why do I hear a party? And they say, your brother's come back. Redemption has happened. God has worked a miracle. Somebody was dead and now they're alive again. And he won't go in because when you're the oldest, you can be so caught up in the work that you miss the joy. You could be so caught up in doing church work that you don't enjoy your life. You could be so caught up in your Holy Ghost battle that don't nobody really like you because you ain't happy. You don't smile. You don't laugh. Everything's Jesus. What's up, brother? Heaven, you're going? You got a pocket full of tracks. You can't even relax. You got a witness to everybody you meet. Can't even just play golf. You're on the seventh hole. You know, seven is God's number of perfection. You are so busy working that you miss the joy. I heard a preacher say one time that it's almost impossible for an unhappy believer to influence a happy heathen. Ooh, it's almost impossible for some bitter, angry, mad, face all screwed up, sucking on lemons every day, got an attitude while they praying, Jesus. It's almost impossible for that person to influence somebody who is a heathen and loving it. Shoes can make you miss the joy. Three, shoes can put you at odds with the father. This is the oldest son. He's working in the field. He's got his shoes on. He's with the servants in the field. He's working. He's got his shoes on. But he has found himself at odds with the father. The father wants to restore somebody, and he's mad about it. It is possible to be so caught up in the work in the vineyard that you miss where God has gone. It's possible to be the oldest brother, to be the one who's doing right, who prays and worships and is there and faithful, and you miss how God is moving. And now you find yourself at odds with the move of God. It's possible. We all have to be careful, because the assurance of sonship can fill you with false pride. May he find me in my place when my king shall come for me. You got to be careful that the place you find yourself in doesn't fill you with a false pride that puts you at odds with the guy who's in charge. I know I'm stepping on my own toes. I found myself in that situation where God is trying to do something, and I got an attitude about it because I'm being what I thought he wanted me to be, and he's blessing somebody that I don't think deserves it. Who am I talking to? I wish I had a witness in the building. I'm mad because I see favor on people that aren't as faithful as me. Can I get a witness? Can I just, and somebody, can the leadership say, oh, PA, oh, my God. I step back and say, now, how did they get that contract? How did they get that bill? How did they get that? I just heard a story about their scandal. How did they get that building? I don't even want to look at the pictures. What is that? That's my pride. That's me thinking I'm worthy. When you're the oldest brother, you got to be careful that your shoes don't make you feel yourself so much that you can't be all right with God blessing somebody. Shoes can make you mad. Number four, I'm almost done. Anybody hearing a word from the Lord? I'm almost done. I'm talking to the leadership. I'm talking to the world. I'm talking to the world. I'm talking to all of you in Nigeria and India and Australia and everywhere, Canada, everyone that you're, everywhere you are. I'm talking to you. You have to be careful that in your making of the sign of the cross, you don't miss the fact that God will heal the centurion's servant. The centurion's not worthy, and the servant is someone that helps to make his household run. Believe me, he wasn't there asking for healing for somebody that cleans the bathroom. He's there asking for healing for someone that his business can't work without him. He says, I'm not worthy for you to come to my house. But without this guy, I won't make my money. I need you to heal him. And Jesus heals him. And we don't talk about it. We don't talk about Jesus working a miracle for a heathen. See how quiet it done got in here? We don't talk about it because we the oldest son. And we want to make it seem like, oh, well, he really must have had faith. Well, the centurion was faithful, and that faith is what made him whole, and he gave, so he was a believer. He was a believer. We want to make him save because our oldest brother complex won't allow us a possibility of a God that will heal somebody's business who don't really know him. Because we more church than kingdom. Because we don't realize that God got a way of doing things. And even when you mess up, and even when you're lost, and even when you're banged up, and even when you've made mistakes, and even when you're hurting, and even when you're broken, and even when you're sad, y'all better talk to me, even when you're at your lowest place, even when you haven't prayed, even when you haven't prayed in tongues, even when you've cussed somebody out, even in your most guilty moment, God still loves you, and God can still work a miracle for you. Can I get a witness in here this morning? God don't need you to be perfect to heal your life. God don't need you to be perfect to bless your business. He don't need you to be perfect for you to get that deal. You know how I know? Because the heathens you work with have money. We got to get over this whole false idea that God is only blessing people with money who know him. That is a lie. Some of the most blessed people are heathens. I know I'm not just preaching to myself. I know I'm not. I know I'm not. And your job is to tell them they're blessed, not that they're wrong. Our job is not to be the oldest brother and walk through the party elder with a little bit of an attitude. Look at this. Look at this car. Look at this house. Look at these heathens in here. Do you hear that music? What is that? Is that Jay-Z? You know that he's a blah, 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 blah. That whole judgy thing, that's oldest brother. That's oldest brother shoe judgment. What we're supposed to do is walk through and say, whoa, my God, look at how God can move. Look at how God can bless. Look at how God can make a way. Wow. Do you know there's favor on your life? You may find out, they may say to you, yeah, but my grandmama told me I'm going to hell. And you say to them, who told you you're going to hell? Listen, the God I serve sits high and looks low, and he loves raggedy people and righteous people. You might win somebody if you say that. What we do is we drive the wealthy away, and then we struggle. Because we're prophetic. We're prophetic, Paul. We're prophetic. Walt, we prophetic. We got prophecy, mommy. But we won't take meat from dirty birds. And our brook has dried up. And the Lord is trying to send some dirty birds to us. And we got the nerve to judge them. Because we got the oldest brother complex. Who am I talking to? We think we're better. We look down and we think that we can get them saved. But I'm trying to tell you, it's going to be kind of hard for you to get somebody rich saved when you broke. You know why I'm praying for all of y'all to be multimillionaires? Because it'll be way easier for you to minister to a millionaire if you got money. Because if your God is so good, why are you so broke? Who am I talking to? I know I'm not. I'm a PK. Don't get me started. I'm a PK. I know. There's folk. We lost a whole generation of children and young folk because we swore up and down how God was going to move. Our grandmama swore up and down how God was going to make a way, how he can make a way where there was no way. And we sat right there and watched no way be no way. When it was time to get us a car, they said, well, baby, you're going to have to walk, baby, because God had not made a way. Why? I think it's because we sow in the field that we miss the kingdom. Number four, my fourth point, I got to move on, is, and I've already made it, and that is, you can have on shoes and still be hungry. Prodigal son comes back hungry. Father says, let's have a feast. Oldest son says, where's my feast? It is possible to be there and not have a feast. We think the feast is only because we think he's hungry and starving because he made a mistake. But it is absolutely possible to have not made a mistake and still not know about the party. One of the toughest lessons of this parable is that both sons miss sonship. Both sons are unaware of what it really means to be a son. We have thought that the younger son is unaware because he went out there and lost his mind. But the truth of the matter is, he probably asked for his inheritance because he didn't know. He got more focused on stuff because he didn't know. And now the oldest brother, who has access to everything, is mad because he doesn't understand that he's not really working for his father. He's working for himself. We blame all of this on sin, but the real problem is we don't understand kingdom. And the oldest son sounds like us. Prostitutes. Parties. Judging. As if that's the problem. It is absolutely possible to party and still be blessed. I know so many folk are like, shh, Pastor Andy, don't say that. Stop. Because after your meeting, everybody going to run to the liquor store. I know that's what y'all think. Right after this, you can find me in the club. Bottle full of, I heard that song the other day. It's your birthday. I heard that song. Who is that? 50 Cent. Anyway. Shh, don't say that. Because they told us, you're going to bust hell wide open. Now, you still went to the party. I still went. I need a witness. I still went, but I was just checking every 5 seconds to see, because he coming like a thief in the night. And so I'm like, yeah, and then I'm like, oh, I'll be right back, girl. Don't move. Keep twerking. And then I go and look outside, see, did he come? It is absolutely possible. Absolutely possible for you to be in church every day of the week and not have nothing. For you to be ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sorry. It's a hard truth. It's the oldest brother shoe truth. You can have on shoes and still not access kingdom. And my last point for the world, and especially for my leaders, is that shoes, the oldest shoe, oldest brother shoe truth, is shoes can rob you of your love. This is his brother. Dr. Pete, this is his brother. We don't know how long he was gone. His father says, dude, your brother was dead, man. He's back. It is possible to be so caught up in your right and in your work that you don't love nobody. And your younger brother comes back and you don't love him. You got an attitude. How dare they come back in here and sit in these seats we paid for and suck up this air that we and come to this thing that we and how. But because somehow, if for whatever reason in our faithfulness, we can lose sight of why we really have power. We don't have power, beloved, just to have power. We have power so that the strong can bear the infirmities of the weak. And if you have missed the fact that you have been blessed to be a blessing, then you don't really understand why you're blessed. The oldest brother got a double portion. When the inheritance is broken up, it's not equal parts. The idea of a double portion comes from the fact that the oldest brother gets a double portion and the youngest brother gets a portion. The oldest brother didn't get the double portion by any means or work of his own. He did not control the birth order. His double portion was favor. He's doubly blessed, and everything left is his. The favor on us, beloved. For many of us, I know I'm not the only one, we can almost barely explain how God has blessed us, how God has made a way, how God has kept our minds, how God has kept our money. You can't tell me that you haven't come out of COVID-19 and thought to yourself, how am I still here? How is World Overcomers still World Overcomers? How are we bigger than ever? How are offerings? How is this? How has that happened? It is a double portion. It's favor. Don't sleep on yourself. It's favor. Don't get too thinking more highly of yourself than you ought. I know, Lord, I hear you. It's favor. And the favor isn't just for you to walk around being favored. The favor is for you to love your younger brother that loses everything.
But there's something about faithful that can make you stop loving people. Who am I talking to? There's something about it. Something about faithful consistency in church that can make you rude and stank at people. But not here. Because every one of us knows, if it had not been for the Lord on your side, oh my God, if it had not been, and if you didn't know it before this, you know it now. If you ever wondered if there was favor on your life, COVID-19 has proven that God's got something for you to do. When this thing first hit, you were scared half to death. Here you are, 18 months later, looking at what God has done and thinking to yourself, my God, you are able. My God, you are moving. My God, you can make a way where there seems to be no way. You're an able God. You deserve a worthy, able praise. Because you're faithful. And I realize, beloved, that we have been blessed to be a blessing. You have been kept for the people who were not kept. You have been made rich to be a blessing. Because God got a way of doing things. And one of the ways he does things is favor. Does anybody know that there's favor on your life? Can you wave at me from around the world? Can you comment and say, oh, PA, oh, yes, there's a favor on my life. Oh, yes, stuff happens I can't explain. Oh, yes, I got offers that I don't know where they're coming from. You're right. I got stuff that's, I just got into this thing and it's taking off. You know what? They just called me yesterday. I don't even know where. You know what? I've got a whole new idea in my mind. I don't even know where the, you know what? They said that this was going to happen and I'm, you know what? I lost my grandmama in all of this and I'm still all right. You know what? I thought I couldn't make it, but I'm here. The devil thought he had me, but I made it over. The devil thought he had me, thought my life was over. Somehow, God has kept me. Somehow, God has blessed me. Somehow, I own. Somehow, I'm lending. Somehow, I'm breathing. If that's your testimony, can you clap your hands in the room with me this morning? Come on, you can do better than that. If you heard a word from the Lord this morning, can I get you to give? Can I get you to give this morning out of your love for God? Can I get you to sow a seed into this word? I've been doing it the whole pandemic as we've been meeting, not able to come together. Now as we're slowly coming together, I got about 500, looks like maybe a couple hundred of my leaders here with me, and you are all watching around the world, and I'm doing the best I can to talk to everybody. Hallelujah. But can I get you to give? Can I get you to give above your tithe and your offering? Above your tithe and offering. Above your tithe and offering. Your tithe is a sacrifice. Your sacrifice is something that you give up. Your offering is your generosity. It's what you give to. I need you to be generous. I need you to give to the work of the kingdom of God. I've been asking for at least $50. I was talking to a bishop that is one of the most brilliant men that I've ever had a conversation with. His name is Bishop Walter Scott Thomas. Bishop Walter Thomas in Baltimore. That's a shout out. Just a brilliant man. And he said to me, Andy, be careful putting a number on stuff. Because God knows. God knows. I've been asking for at least $50 in this offering, but wherever you may be around the world, I want you to give to the work of the kingdom of God. And I don't want to limit you on what you're giving outside of your tithe. Can I get you to give? Can I get you to give? You can text WOE online to 77977. All of y'all in here got push pay already. You can just pull it up right now. You can give to the work of the kingdom of God. And we will still have envelopes, I suppose. And did we give people envelopes? Did we give people envelopes today? Did we do that? Did anybody even get an envelope? Hallelujah. It's all right if you need an envelope. That's fine. But we want to give to the work of the kingdom of God, because this is an opportunity for us to love. Not just love God, but to love His work. And to love what He's calling for us to do together. And we have come to the kingdom for just such a time as this. And I'm glad about it. I said, I'm glad about it. I'm glad about it. I'm glad I have to give. I'm glad He's made a way for me. I'm glad we're in this thing together. Wherever you may be around the world, if you're in Africa, you can give. If you're in India, you can give. If you're in Canada, you can give. We are World Overcomers, United Global. What's going to happen now? I was saying this before the pandemic started, beloved. I was already saying, if you're in the audience, if you're in the room with us, I don't even know if you're the audience. People that went to watch any of the football, any of the games, when that college championship game happened, the people that went there to watch it didn't go there to see it. They did, but that's not why they went. If they really wanted to see it, they could just stay home. It's way more comfortable to stay at home. You pause it when you want. You ain't got to travel. Sleep in your own bed. Drink your own beer. Ooh, help us, Holy Ghost. Drink your own juice. You ain't got to pay extra. That's the convenient thing to do. They didn't go to see the game. They went to help Clemson win. They went to help Alabama win. They went to be loud when the other team had the ball. And after COVID-19, for all of you that come to the room, sorry. You're the audience, but you're not. The audience is the world. And you're here to make noise, to confuse the enemy. Can I get you to make some noise in the room? I said, can I get you to make some noise in the room? Can I get you to make some noise in the room? I said, can I get you to make a little bit of noise in the room? Can anybody just say, hallelujah, Lord, I love you, God, I bless you. I had a word for you, and I'm trying as best I can to preach it to you and preach it to the world. You're here to make it easier for me to preach now. I've preached without you. I've missed you. I don't miss you because you need a word so bad, because you've been getting it. I miss you because I'm not as tired right now as I normally am, because there's an energy that you get when you're on your home field. I need a witness in the building. For all of you that are coming, for all of you that are registering to come on the 25th, not next Sunday the 18th, but the 25th, for all of you that are registering, understand you're coming here to make Josh's job easier and Kayla's and Tam's and everyone who's leading and Johnny's and all. You're here to make preaching easier. You're here to make Pastor Al's, you're here to make it easier. You're here to bring energy. You're here to give. You're here to serve, not to be served. This is about to be service. Anybody remember when they used to go to service? I need a witness. Not church, service. It's time for service. You went to service. This is going to be service. It's the new normal. Let's bow our heads and pray. God, thank you. Thank you for our time together. Thank you for this moment. Thank you for these gifts. Thank you for every giver. Thank you for all of my leaders. Thank you for every single one of us, that even the people that cannot be here. Thank you, Lord God, for everyone that's watching literally around the world. And God, we're believing you for one of the biggest offerings that we've ever had, that we've ever taken up. We're believing you for a miracle, for a move of your power and spirit as we are about to take our next steps and begin to talk about the next level. God, I pray that you will bless this group that's in the room with me, that you will bless the group that's watching me right now. Even though it could be Tuesday, it could be Thursday when they're watching this, God, I pray a supernatural financial blessing on everyone's life. God, we have preached on praise and we have preached on family and relationships, but God, we want to see your kingdom come. We want your will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever and amen. Let your power fall on us. And not just in praise, but in wealth. In Jesus' name. We all sit together. Amen. God bless you as you give. So glad that you are with us this morning. So glad that you watch us literally around the world. Next Sunday, we'll be right here. Got a word for you. Live worship, I'll be sharing. Pastor Al's been sharing on Wednesdays. Have y'all been enjoying Pastor Al on Wednesdays? Can I ask a question? Have you been enjoying Pastor Al on Wednesdays? Something wrong with you if you can't just be taught something consistent. Somebody that's been on the planet for almost 100 years, I mean, not close, but somebody that's been on the planet for 70-aught years. Wednesday nights, you're watching Wednesday nights. Next Sunday, I have a word for you. And then the 25th, we will be here together. And we're so excited about the work of God. Can you stand to your feet with me, all of you that are in the room? Let me pray for you one more time. I used to make everybody join hands, but I don't know about that no more. We'll give it another year. Lord, we want to thank you and praise you and honor you for this moment. In moments like these, we sing out a love song to you. And we say, we shall overcome someday. Deep in our heart, we do believe you are able. We ask you to dismiss us from this place, but never from your presence. Actually, Lord, we're asking you to cover us with your blood. For everyone that's watching literally around the world, watch over us and cover us and protect us from the things that we cannot see. Let your loving arms surround us. We need your anointing. We need you more. Fill us full of yourself. Have your way in us. Kingdom of God come. Will of God be done in us. God, as we always pray, bless your people in this room and around the world. Bless your people. Make your face shine upon your people. Be gracious to your people. Peace on your people. And let the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart be acceptable in your sight. For God, you're our rock, you're our redeemer. We love you. In Jesus' name, we all said together, amen. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you.